Well, it's a while since I've done this, so you'll bear with me while I get organized. I usually start off with something funny. Today's no exception. Something I picked out from this book I've used before. A man is stumbling through the woods totally drunk when he comes upon a preacher baptizing people in the river. He proceeds to walk into the water and subsequently bumps into the preacher. The preacher turns around and is almost overcome by the smell of alcohol, whereupon he asks the drunk, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk answers, "Yes, I am." So the preacher grabs him and dunks him in the water and pulls him up and asks the drunk, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" The drunk tells him, "No, I haven't found Jesus." The preacher, shocked at the answer, dunks him into the water again for a longer time. And he pulls him out of the water and asks, "Have you found Jesus, my brother?" The drunk answers again, "No, I haven't found Jesus." By this time, the preacher's at his wit's end. And he dunks the drunk in the water again, but this time he holds him down for about 30 seconds. And when he begins kicking his arms and legs, he pulls him out of the water. And the preacher asks the drunk again, "For the love of God, have you found Jesus?" The drunk wipes his eyes and catches his breath and says to the preacher, "Are you sure this is where he fell in?" Today I want to talk about a donkey, from a little story that appears in the New Testament. It appears in all the four Gospels, but we're going to read from Luke's account. Hopefully there it is. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there. No one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciple." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And as we unravel parts of it today, I pray you would teach us, you would call us, you would bless us through what we hear. And you would help me to proclaim it in the way you would. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what you know about donkeys, but they've been very useful animals for some 5,000 years, mostly as beasts of burden. And the Gospels give differing accounts as to whether there was just a donkey or a donkey and a colt. The suggestion is it might have been both. Jesus wanted the colt, a donkey that hadn't been ridden on before, to fulfill a prophecy that Zechariah made. "Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he's humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt." So it is possible that the colt and its mother would remain together at this age, so it could have been both. I guess we tend to caricature donkeys on the basis of our limited interaction with them and our limited understanding of how stubborn and stupid they very often seem to be. I've got some pictures of some real donkeys here. They can be nice or otherwise. This is one you might be more familiar with.
Hey.
I've got a great picture that I'm very fond of. We read about donkeys in several places in the Bible. A couple I noted. One was Balaam's donkey, you can read about in Numbers 22, who actually spoke. God caused him to speak. And there are some other references to donkey in 1 Kings, for example, where people that were part of King David's household rode his special mule. But the importance of the donkey, as mentioned prophetically by Zechariah, as we just read, would not have been lost on the religious leaders and scholars. It will be a symbol of the coming of the Messiah, and this was how Jesus chose to enter Jerusalem. So Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village to where they will find a colt, which no one has ridden on, and they are to untie it and bring it back to Jesus. I mean, they didn't really understand about the Messiah bit. Jesus had explained it to them, but not until after Jesus had died and rose again did it all become clear. Jesus says, if anyone asks what they are doing, say the Lord needs it. Well, who would notice a donkey tied to a tree in a town where nothing ever seems to happen? Jesus. During the busiest week of his life, on his way to Jerusalem to die, Jesus paused for a lonely colt, saying, bring him to me. And there are two things that spoke to me out of this story. The first is this. Jesus knows where you are today, and when the time is right, he will call on you. You notice it said, a colt that has never been ridden. Maybe that's because nobody placed much value on it. But when God has a plan for your life, he's not influenced by those who overlook or underestimate you. You need to understand that neither your friends nor your family, nor your boss, nor your finances, nor your afflictions control your future if you're in a relationship with Jesus. God does. And how long had the colt been tied to that tree? Was it days, weeks, months? We don't know. But this much is sure. When the Lord says, untie it and bring it here, the clock starts ticking and his plan for your life starts falling into place. Maybe you feel nobody has placed much value on you. But when a God has a plan for your life, he's not influenced by those who overlook or underestimate you. Never undervalue the possibilities of your life in God's hands. What he sees in you is above the value that you might consider yourself or the value that other people may place on you. But you may be in a backwater of life. A place where no one thinks of you or really cares about you. You may feel that you're not very profitable for Jesus at the moment. You may already be doing things for the Lord's service, but think that God should perhaps have a bigger plans for your life. Jesus knows where you are today, and when the time is right, he will call you. Last week we heard from Ian Hepburn, standing at the front with Audrey, telling us about his calling to help the homeless and the addicted people. Ian was open to the call of his life for whatever specific purpose God had in mind for him. And I understand from Audrey that he's doing quite well. Perhaps that's not the best thing to say about it, but he's working hard. He's been doing all sorts of things he's never done before. He's kind of been office bound largely in his job, and here he's doing manual work, and he's been out on the streets, and he's been helping some very difficult people, but he's doing well. But you know, there's others who have heard the call of God and wanted to enter into the service, but they find they're waiting on the call being realized. And it can be quite difficult to live with that, the frustration, knowing that God has called you and laid a call on your heart, but you're unable to fulfill it during this time until the time is right. I guess when I thought about this point, I was thinking of those who believe God has called them to something, but it's yet to be fulfilled. Now, you may feel God has called you to some task or some ministry, but for some reason it's not yet happened. Consider Abraham. God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, that he would have a son. And Abraham waited years for that promise to be fulfilled. He even made the assumption that perhaps God wanted him to have a son through Sarah's, his wife's servant, Hagar. Jeff Lucas points out that when Ishmael, that was Hagar's son, was 13, Sarah was 89, and that 23 years had passed since God had made the promise to Abraham that he would have a son. And it's not until Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah 90 years old that the promise was fulfilled and Isaac was born, the beginning of many nations. When we feel that God has pledged something to us, a calling on our lives, but there are no signs of that promise being fulfilled, we're tempted to ask if that ever happened at all. There's always a gap between promise and fulfillment, and minding the gap is not easy. And there's a lot of reasons why there may be a gap between the promise and the fulfillment. And Abraham, it might have been things about his character that had to change. It's like the clay in the hands of the potter. Sometimes it takes a few attempts to get it right. And things have to change to be reshaped in order to deliver the desired article. Maybe you need encouragement today as you wait for the fulfillment of the promise that God has made in your life. When God appeared to Abraham at 99 to confirm that he would have a son in a year's time, his wife Sarah laughed cynically. Me, have a baby at my age, 89? And when the son was born, he was named Isaac, which means laughter. I guess I felt the call of God on my life a number of times during my lifetime. But I was always a working man, and I always thought God that someday might release me into some kind of ministry. And at the age of 50, I thought, surely this is about the right time for me to be released into something. But it happened at 55. I was offered early retirement on the grounds of organizational change. Another way of saying my job was going. And it was about a year before that, I guess, that I first read about pregnancy crisis centers in a Care for Life magazine. And I thought that would be something that Dunfermline could do with. But it was after I found out I was getting early retirement, that we happened to be in visiting some people in the United States. And the first thing they said when we arrived was, I know you'll be a bit jet-lagged, but it would be good if you'd come with us tomorrow night to our annual Pregnancy Crisis Center fundraising event. So we thought, fine, we'll do that. And lo and behold, we were at this event, and we're sitting in this round table, and it was all well laid out and everything, and there was this little image of a fetus at 12 weeks, and it really struck my heartstrings. And then people started giving testimony as to how the Pregnancy Crisis Center had helped them with their decision-making processes, and they were carried the baby through to completion and took on all the consequences of that. And I thought, this is something that God laid on my heart, and this is something we need to do in Dunfermline. And so I talked to Paula. We agreed that that was something we could do together. And when we came back home, we talked to Mike, the pastor at the time, and he said, oh, it's great, tick the box, go for it. But after that, it was some 2 years before we actually got the center up and running. There was all the process of getting fundraising. There was a question of training for both Paula and I. There was a question of training other people up to help run the center. And I guess it's kind of history now, because it's been running 12 years and now Judith is running the center. But there was a waiting time, but there was also a call. And I guess there are others that could stand here today and tell you how God has called them in from their circumstances into his calling. I mean, perhaps Richard could talk about his mindfulness ministry and how a rough time that he went through before he actually got released into that, and how it's still quite a struggle to keep things together, but the ministry is flourishing and doing very well. And perhaps John Dryley could tell you about food bank and how God called his life into that, but even that's a struggle and there are waiting times. But for others the call has to be fulfilled, yet to be fulfilled. And it's the place of waiting that gets quite difficult. Frustration coupled with uncertainty about the call. George Müller wrote, it's comforting to know that not only the steps, but also the stops of a good person are ordered by the Lord. It's comforting to know that not only the steps, but also the stops of a good person are ordered by the Lord. Jesus knows where you are today, and when the time is right, he will release you into that calling. In the meantime, it's important to stay close to God, to remember the calling and keep faithful that God will fulfill his promise. In Romans 4, verse 18 to 21, we read, even when there's no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations, for God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. But Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. Jesus knows where you are today, and when the time is right, he will release you into that calling. You may have heard this before, but there was an experiment carried out in which frogs were put in a jar and the lids were put on the jars to prevent them escaping. And at first the frogs kept jumping and banging their heads on the tin lid, trying to escape. But after 30 days of doing this, something amazing happened. When the lids were removed from the jars, the frogs never jumped out, even though they could have easily done so. Why? Because they'd formed a belief system that the top of the jar was as high as they could go. Their limiting belief system kept them trapped in the jar. So I'm wondering if you're holding on to limiting belief systems. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm the wrong nationality, I don't have the education, I don't have the talent, I don't have the connections, I failed too badly. Why would God call me? Isaiah says, "Do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious to me. You are honored and I love you. Don't be afraid, for I am with you." Jesus knows where you are today. When the time is right, he will release you into that calling. A second thing that brought out from this little incident, the colt was tied. The colt was tied. And Jesus knows what's tying you today. And he wants to release you. You may be tied up with legitimate things like raising a family or holding down a job or working long hours. But you may be tied by guilt or anxiety or concern. Or you may be tied up with more illegitimate things that you cannot even talk about. Or maybe there's a need to forgive, or an obsession, or a chemical dependence. Maybe you just never heard the call of Jesus on you before. To whatever you may be tied by, God knows, and he's bigger than your problems. You may just need to let go and let God, and not be afraid to show love, peace, faith, joy. Or it may need to be that you need to overcome the fear of taking the gospel to others. Palm Sunday, as it's known, was when Jesus went to Jerusalem. And it's one of the few places in the gospels where they record that Jesus' glory is recognized on earth. Jesus boldly declares himself king, and the crowd gladly join in, saying, "Long live the king." But it's not just a celebration of Christ the king, but a celebration of Jesus as our liberator from dependencies and afflictions. We need to be free to experience the fullness of Jesus in our lives. We are meant to ride with Jesus. We are meant to ride with Jesus. We cannot fully commit to God when we are tied. We must be released. Surrender our burdens and weights to God, just as the owner of the donkey surrendered it to the disciples. So in summary, Jesus gave opportunity to many people that he met on his traveling ministries to hear the gospel, to be healed, even to be raised from the dead. But he does have time for a donkey, a colt, to use in his service. He has time and a place for each of us in his service, whether or not we believe we are valued, whether or not we believe he can use us. We've heard Haleen this morning calling for volunteers to help with CAP. Maybe that's one of the things that God might release you into. If we're not already being used, or we feel there's more that we can give, let's be in the place of expectation and awareness and readiness for when the call comes. Stay faithful to God and to the promise yet to be really realized. Maybe you're tied up with something that keeps you from your full potential, or even to get close to God. Maybe to be released means changes that you cannot face up to. Let Jesus release you today. Jesus brings deliverance. You can be released. Jesus can't untie you, take you into the service. Jesus used the words of Isaiah to express his ministry of proclaiming that captives will be released, the blind will see, and the downtrodden will be free from their oppressors. The Lord's favor has come. Freedom to live, freedom to grow, freedom to know the Savior of the world. So I say to you this morning, the Lord has need of you.